So I am here with Tony Schneider, who is the VP of Developer Relations at Yahoo. And Tony, you know, before we start, you know, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, your background? I know you were the CEO at Oddpost before you guys got bought. Can you tell me a little bit about what that happened? Did Yahoo approach you? You approached Yahoo? What's the story?
Sure. Hi. We at Oddpost, we met Yahoo probably about a year before we got acquired. And at that point, we approached Yahoo not to get acquired, but just to show Yahoo our software, which was web-based email.
So you're having to license your software to them?
Yeah, or just kind of basically start building a relationship and seeing, is this something that Yahoo is interested in? At the time, we were licensing our software in the enterprise mail space to people like Oracle. But our heart was really in consumer webmail, so we wanted to work with somebody on the consumer side. And so we started meeting with people. And then eventually, when Yahoo was ready to acquire us, they approached us and said, okay, we like what you've done. We're ready. We think there's going to be a lot of change in webmail coming. We'd like to be ready for that, and we'd like to acquire you for that reason.
Okay. And after the acquisition, you're now the VP of Developer Relations. Why not go run Yahoo Mail?
Yahoo Mail is in very good hands. Also, for me, probably as a startup CEO, my strength is probably less in running a really large group like Yahoo Mail and more in starting something new. And I looked around at Yahoo, and one thing I felt really passionately about is that Yahoo should open itself up to third-party developers. And so I proposed that we do that via developer network. And they said yes. And so I kicked off that project probably about 6 months ago now.
Okay.
I think in about April of this year. And we're now up to 12 people, and we have about half a dozen products we've launched, APIs and so on, and several thousand developers. So it's coming along very nicely.
So what does that mean if you're the VP of Developer Relations? Do you decide, like, you know, the timing on APIs, what's getting released, when it's getting released? Or do you work the product teams on that? Who owns the schedule on that?
Right. So we do a couple of things. There's the internal process of figuring out what the APIs are going to look like, how we're going to release them. And that's really mostly working with a lot of groups across Yahoo. We don't run those projects. We're sort of a catalyst. We have engineers that people can borrow to help build these things, but it's driven by individual groups at Yahoo. And then the second part of our job is the external one, which is really once an API is ready, we launch it, we support it, we evangelize it, we make sure that developers build great things and we help them build great things.
What's success for the Yahoo Developer Network?
Ultimately, success is all in great third-party applications that emerge on the platform. And that's something that takes some time. We have some things that are emerging now that are really cool, but we can take it a lot further. So we try and measure that now with metrics like how many developers do we have, how engaged are they, how many applications, and try and measure some of the activity that those applications are generating.
Okay.
But we're still at the beginning of that. And right now, this is a very sort of leading edge, early stage kind of project. So we're not, you know, overly heavy on the analysis yet, and really more about getting it out there and you know, building some relationships with people. But clearly the end goal is to have great applications emerge.
So is this ultimately going to make money for Yahoo? Is there a revenue model associated with this? How does it impact the bottom line?
Right. It's it's a little bit different for different parts of Yahoo. Unlike other sort of open API and web services programs at places like eBay and Amazon that we've seen over the last few years, mm-hmm. Ours is a little bit different. We have that aspect. eBay and Amazon are primarily sort of giant affiliate programs, right? It's all, the APIs are designed to drive purchases within those marketplaces. And we have some APIs that fit that model. For example, we have a shopping API where we let third parties tap into our shopping comparison engine, and they then drive traffic back into our shopping network. So that's kind of a no-brainer. It just drives more commerce on the Yahoo platform. But we also have other APIs. Let's pick something like Flickr, that is really about opening up a platform where people share photos and tag photos and sort of tap into that shared resource of a photo or media sharing platform. And that really goes beyond simply driving additional Yahoo Commerce. It really goes, it's about driving more user signups, driving more activity on that platform, making that platform more useful to our users, and eventually helping third parties monetize what they're building on top of our platform and then sharing in that revenue. So we're starting to see the beginnings of that with things like a few applications that have been built using our search APIs that then go and use our ad serving services and monetize their apps using Yahoo targeted ads and then share in that revenue. So I think those kinds of models start to get more interesting, where somebody's building a new business that generates new revenue that we can share, rather than somebody just driving more of the existing revenue, which is great too, but it's somewhat limited because you're essentially telling somebody, here's how I make money, now get me more of that. And
right.
That drives people very much towards a certain type of app. So
one thing sort of around the revenue model is, I mean, one thing that I've noticed is that, you know, even when you look at the Google or the Yahoo or the MSN, you know, terms of service around these APIs, many of them say, you can't use this for commercial use unless you contact us first. Is there going to be a price sheet for this kind of stuff? I mean, like, is there like, yeah, you know, X queries a day is so much money, or, you know, because as an entrepreneur, it's sort of hard to know, like, can I use Yahoo as a platform to develop from, or do I need to be, you know, doing watch my back? How do I compare?
Right. So the non-commercial use is sort of an easy way to get things out there without having to worry exactly how it's going to affect your business. So that's why we're doing that. Why a lot of people are doing that. And then we have, when people do contact us, we do give out exceptions. We call them commercial use exceptions. So, and they're very, very simple. We just send someone an email saying, yes, it's okay for you to use this API to do a commercial app. Right now, we're trying to control that so that we understand what people are building and we're not just opening it up to anyone. But the eventual goal is to build these APIs in a way where somebody can build a commercial app in a self-serve fashion without ever coming to us and needing permission. And I think an important step in that direction is going to be the ad serving APIs and services. So we can say, if, you know, as long as you serve up our ads, you can use our APIs.
But do you think it's
going to
always be ad driven? Do you think that there will be a model like, you know, like the MSDN model? You know, where it's like, you know, I get this kit from Microsoft, and it's, here's how you develop apps on top of our stuff, and it costs X dollars a year.
I think ads make sense for some apps, not for all of them, so I think there will be other models. I think the one where the developer pays per API call,
right,
I don't like personally. It's not to say that Yahoo will never do it,
right,
but I think it's the wrong model, because you're sort of punishing the small developer who's just going to do a few thousand queries and just wants to build something interesting, but they're not sure they want to pay money for it. And it's not, you know, you really want to make it free and easy for those types of developers to experiment. And then the person having tons of queries, they pay you a bunch of money for their API calls, but they might build a completely different business on top of that that makes lots of money that you're not participating in. So you're kind of...
Isn't that a good thing then, if they pay you per API call, because then you participate in the value that you've created for the...
Yes, except it would be even better if it was free for them as well to use the API, but then we share...
I can't argue with that.
We share in their revenue, so that
okay.
If somebody makes tons of money off of it, we get a cut of that. And if somebody doesn't, or they want to do something that's put out there for free or that's non-profit and all those kinds of things, they can do that as well. And it's just, I think it just makes more interested, it makes more sense to incentivize people to try and make a lot of money together, rather than figuring out first, how can I afford using the API in the first place, and then I still have to figure out how to make money on top.
Right.
It doesn't quite make sense to me.
Okay. What's the coolest example of Yahoo APIs in action, you know, from a third party that you've seen? What's your favorite stuff out there?
Oh, wow. There are a lot out there. It's hard to, you know, pick a specific one.
I knew
okay.
You'd say that.
So, you know, I don't want to pick favorites or anything. I'll give you some examples that I've just recently come across or used that I think are interesting. So, for example, Rollio has gotten a lot of attention lately.
Uh-huh.
They are completely powered by our APIs. It's a personalized search engine that you can build, where you create sort of a mini search, narrowed down to the sites that you like, and then you share that mini search with all the other users. And it's all powered by Yahoo Search underneath. So they were able to build that product relatively quickly, within a few months, with a small budget, without having to go reinvent the search engine piece and just building their layer on top. It's very well executed, beautiful product design. They're going to start serving up our ad, so it's a full commercial app. Kind of shows how all of this really can work together. I'm a big fan of the Yahoo Music Engine, mm-hmm. and that has a plugin architecture, and people have been building third-party plugins for that I personally use a lot. So there's like a playlist sharing one that I've been using a lot, where you can go in and find other users' playlists for certain moods and things.
Is there a name for it that I should link to?
It's wmeplaylists.com, I believe. There's also, on the Confabulator side, a lot of cool widgets coming out. So one that I use a lot is, there's actually a remote control widget for the Yahoo Music Engine that was built using Confabulator. That's really cool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fun stuff happening on Flickr.
Okay.
I like geobloggers a lot. That's Flickr photos put on a Google map. Hopefully.
I was going to say.
Well, you know, that's how they decided to implement
it. That's how open Yahoo is.
Right. I mean, it's the whole point is that, you know, you can mix and match these services, but, you know, hopefully eventually we can convince them to do that on Yahoo Maps as well. But that's a cool app because that's a whole new interface into people's photos that's based on finding them on a location. So I can go onto a city and see pictures from that city and so on. It's really, really well done.
Is there something that you wish people would do with the APIs that they haven't done yet? Is there something you're sort of dying for somebody to go do a mashup of or to use your APIs to go do?
No, not
or,
really.
Or, I mean,
we sit around, and brainstorm things, and we've built a few examples and things like that. But
really,
our primary job is to sort of provide the tools and the platform, and then listen to people when they want to build things and they need help from us. And you know, but we're not really out there thinking, "Wow, if somebody built X, that would be great." Because frankly, then we'd be building it, right?
Sure.
So it's really more about opening it up to people who build things in areas that we don't know about and we're not experts in, and they can build something a lot smarter and better and more compelling. If I had to point to one area, is actually mobile. There's most of the apps we're seeing are web apps, which is great, but I wish in general people build more mobile apps, just because that's a sort of another ideal place where people can leverage these web services and build something quickly.
So let's shift a little bit and talk about some of the competition. When we talked about this a little bit, in that, you know, you said you're sort of comfortable with Yahoo data and, you know, functionality being mixed with, say, Google data and functionality. That's okay with you if somebody goes and does that?
Yes, absolutely. As long as it's within everybody's terms of use, that's the whole point. You can mix and match from multiple services.
So let me ask you the hard question: if I wanted to do something commercial that had both Google functionality and Yahoo functionality or data, would you say yes or would you say no?
We'd say yes, again, as long as it fits our criteria, which is, it can get, you know, we haven't had a case yet, but I'm not sure what would happen if if Yahoo said, yes, you can do it, but you have to serve up our ads, and Google said the same thing. What do you end up doing?
We'll serve them both.
Right.
How much are you looking at what companies like Microsoft, eBay, and Google are doing when you're figuring out what to do with the Yahoo Developer Network? Does that, you know, what do you think works and doesn't work with their approaches?
It's been useful for us to see what guys like eBay and Amazon have done, because they have had developer programs. And actually, the first thing I did when I started this is I hired Jeffrey McManus, who ran eBay's developer program, and he's now working for us and running the day-to-day of the Yahoo Developer Network. And so he spent a couple of years already doing this and sort of going through the learning that of how do you open these things up, how do you make it secure and at the same time still keep it as open as possible. How do you, you know, service developers? So our goal is to, how do you make it as simple and easy for people to get into this system without just making it a complete free-for-all and causing a bunch of risks? And
so you think eBay and Amazon are the model here to follow?
Well, I think we can look at some of the things they've done in the past that haven't worked, where they've been too restrictive and they've tried to make people sign up or pay money or, you know, kind of built these artificial hurdles,
right.
Mostly I think out of fear as to what exactly are people going to do.
Sure.
And so I think that's one thing we can look at is how can you be as open as possible? Like, who's done a good job at that, and really make it easy for people? Because developers, they want, you know, they want to come in and see results quickly. They want to have control and transparency and know, you know, what these tools do for them. The other thing we've been able to learn from is to, you know, look at somebody like Amazon, who's provided, for example, both REST and SOAP access into their services. And we had that discussion, and which one should we do? And Amazon released some of their stats and said, we have 85% of our usage is on REST, and 85% of our support load is on SOAP.
I'm not surprised, actually.
We decided to go with REST based on that. And also, Flickr has had similar statistics, actually even more skewed in favor of REST. So we've been able to learn from some of those programs, and that's been useful.
So let me ask you a loaded question. We saw a lot of examples in the desktop space where Microsoft would release APIs for their stuff, you know, and then you'd see them turn around a year or two later and start competing with the companies that were building, you know, things on top of them. How's Yahoo going to handle that situation?
I'm not sure I have a good answer for that, to be honest. I mean, I feel like there's certainly a way to work very closely with your developers to make sure that, you know, when that happens, you try and do the right thing. But there's, yeah, some people are going to build things that are also on our roadmap. We certainly, you know, hopefully we'll never, you know, steal somebody's idea and just go, oh, that's nice, now we're going to just go build the same thing. I mean, if we see something we like, and we've already done this, by the way, we approach developers and say, hey, do you want to come work for us, basically? I mean, it's frankly one of the benefits of having a developer network is you see interesting things pop up and you try and go hire those people or acquire their companies. We've seen interesting things pop up where we just said, wow, these are really smart developers. We'd love to have them on our team. We've approached them. We haven't seen something where somebody has built a product that we're also in the process of building and there's sort of a potential conflict there.
Right.
But, you know, I think in general, there's sort of a natural selection, I think, for developers to go into areas that really are more, you know, aren't mainstream sort of consumer areas that Yahoo's already dominating. Like, yeah, you could use, you know, Yahoo Search API to build a search engine. You know, you could try and, you know, compete directly with Yahoo and Google, but I don't know how much sense that makes unless you really have something very, very special that you can add on top. And again, in which case, we probably want to talk to you about, again, revenue sharing, you know, enabling you to make money off of that together or maybe acquiring it.
Okay. In terms of roadmap, you know, what's Yahoo going to do with the Yahoo Developer Network? What's coming out next? Any sense of timing on what, you know, on that? You know, I think a lot of people are interested in,
right,
you know, what's the next 6 months look like?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't really talk about the roadmap yet. We will fairly soon, I hope within the next
get a roadmap
3 weeks.
Okay.
Talk a little bit more about where this is going. Right now, we've focused primarily on opening up some of the services that either already had internal APIs that we could easily open up, or opening up things that are a little bit less controversial, things like search, services that don't touch on personal user data that might have some privacy and security risks to it, and also services that don't have third-party licensed data in them where we then have to turn around and somehow open that up in a way that works with our content licenses. So we sort of focused on the ones that are a little bit easier to get out there without triggering those issues. The set of services that are on the roadmap, I think, are going to start to move more towards opening up more content that we aggregate and opening up personal content. We do that today with Flickr, for example, where you can get at your personal Flickr photos and other people's Flickr photos. And that's personally where I think a lot of the interesting applications start to happen, where
right,
you have really what we provide is not just sort of one data feed that you can then use and repurpose in your app, but a whole platform and community of people who are sharing data, and you can tap into that. And your app now, you know, instead of having to sort of start from scratch and building an audience, you can really tap into an existing big audience. And I think those are some of the services that we're working on and that we're excited about. But I unfortunately can't say specifically yet what they're going to be, but I think you can put two and two together. I mean, you can also, if you look at, you know, if you go to yaw.com and you look at that list of all the yaw properties, and I don't know how many dozens of them there are, but I would say almost all of them we're talking to about opening up. So our goal is over time to open up everything that makes sense, always within reason of protecting security and privacy and third-party content rights. But we really, this is a major initiative for the company, and it's, we, I would expect over time that, you know, almost anything you see on that list, you'll be able to somehow use inside a third-party product.
So we were having a bit of this conversation before, Tony, around Web 2.0. Is it real? Is it hype? What do you think? Actually, let me start by asking you, what does Web 2.0 mean to you? And I know the Venture Blog did a whole podcast just on this, but what's your take?
To me, certainly from where I'm sitting as running a developer network, that's to me is the core of Web 2.0. It's really the idea that web-based products are no longer web pages that are developed in sort of a vacuum, where you put out a website and then that's all your stuff and it sits on the web, and then you try and drive as much traffic to it as possible. That's kind of the Web 1.0 model. I think to me, Web 2.0 is about sort of changing that model, where you're no longer putting out these web pages that live in sort of your own little silo, but you're putting out web services that then can show up all over the web in various different forms and shapes. And I think we'll see a few core service providers, guys like Yahoo and Google and others, smaller services as well, that sort of build these platform type services. And then I think we'll see tens and hundreds of thousands, even millions of web applications that show up on the web and on mobile and other places that tap into those services. And so instead of having, you know, all these sites that people produce, I think you're going to see a lot more a world where the front end of web applications that the users actually see or can be produced by a number of different people, and then the back end data services come from some core providers like Yahoo and Google. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, Web 2.0 is really a world where users start to see the benefits of that, where instead of having to go to one place all the time, let's say, you know, calendar.yahoo.com is the only place I can get to my calendar. Instead, I go there to, that's where my calendar lives, but that calendar starts to show up in dozens and hundreds and thousands of different places. So when I'm, you know, buying a ticket to go somewhere, I can push a button, it goes on my calendar. When, you know, things like that, when I want to see yours and I want to sync it in some way, it works. And I think people will start to see the benefit of having, owning their data and being able to sort of have it travel with them across multiple services.
Cool. Well, that's all I've got for you. Is there a question I haven't asked you yet that I should have asked you? That's always my favorite question. Is there anything I missed, you think, around what Yahoo's doing around, you know, the whole Web 2.0 space?
No, I think you've done a good job covering it. I would just say, you know, for people listening to this, that what we're looking for is developers who want to take advantage of this. And we are in the beginning phases of it. I think that, you know, we still don't quite know how this, you know, if you want to call it Web 2.0 as sort of the overall term that describes this, how it shapes, you know, how it turns out over the next few years. But I would say as a next step, I think we've seen companies embrace the concept of Web 2.0, companies like Yahoo. I think we saw that kind of happening last year. I think this year we're seeing developers embrace and start to put out interesting ideas, and we're starting to see sort of the first glimmers of what could be a really exciting new wave of products. I think next year we're going to need to see businesses emerge and some people starting to make some money on top of this. And so we are particularly interested in making that happen and really working with developers who have ideas that where they can leverage our platforms to build something interesting, but then also where they want to work with somebody to help make money off of that and really find some new ways to deliver some value to users and sharing that value. So we're in that mode, and we're very interested to hear from people who have ideas like that, and we're actually very open and flexible right now in working with people, and people can help us shape where we're taking this.
All right, Tony Schneider from Yahoo, thank you.
Thank you.